Hey everyone, this is Phil Pringle. Thanks for jumping on today and listening to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Hey, love you to subscribe and tap that subscribe button so that we pop up in your inbox each week when we post. And I know you're going to love today's message. I want to always help people to find their way in God, discover purpose, build their faith, and help them face life and fulfill their dreams. You're going to love this message today. This session is about culture. Of all the things that a leader can bring to his team, to his group, to his organization, culture has to be at the top. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Culture is the way we do things around here. Culture is the invisible soup that travels through the entire organization, whether it's sweet or sour, depends on the leader. We are the social architects, the cultural designers of our organizations. Many years ago, I turned up to one of our churches, actually in Europe. It was raining, it was pouring down. And the car stopped at about 100 yards, I guess, from the front door. Between me and the door, once I opened the car, it was going to be about 100-yard dash to get there. So I'm sitting there and I look out and I can see that the guy who's greeting people on the door is actually huddled up with a raincoat all around him. And he's holding an umbrella, but it's down by his side. He's got a mug of hot drink in his hand and he's drinking this. And people are trying to get through the door, past him through the door. So he wasn't actually doing any greeting. He was just standing there. The sign for the church had blown over in the wind and it was just lying on the ground and rolling around. And everybody was just running around trying to keep dry in this rain. And I looked across and he saw me and he just waved a little wave and took another sip. And that was it. So I made the dash right across the floor, got getting drenched on the way, managed to get in through the front door. And I said to the local pastor, I said, we need to have a chat about culture. Because a big part of the culture of a C3 congregation and our movement is servanthood and the need to help others and serve them and be a blessing to other people in all kinds of ways. And servanthood in the house of God is one of the most wonderful ways we can win people to Christ and win them into church life. And serving is not an area of life that is part of a lot of the Western culture, and especially in Europe. It wasn't like anybody was up saying, yeah, sure, I want to go around washing people's feet. I want to help people carry their bags. I want to open doors for people. It's like, no, just we'll leave everybody to do their own thing. And I've found that in many areas, in the national culture of some nations, it is considered a demeaning thing to serve another person. It's considered beneath our dignity to go about and try and serve somebody and look after them. Even in the restaurants of some nations, you can find that you're more of a nuisance to the waiter. And you go into a shop, it's like you're an annoyance, you're a disruption, an interruption to their day, when really you are the customer and they should be serving you. Even in the business world, this message is super important. I do a lot of teaching to business groups, and this is the person who can master serving their clients and their customers will win the day every time. And so I was needing to let this pastor know, look, you got to start teaching on servanthood. Happily, after about a year and a half, that particular church became like the poster boys of what servanthood's all about. A remarkable transformation in terms of moving from people who didn't even want to do it, had no inclination to do it, to people who really found joy now in serving. The fact is, I never apologize in leading people into a life of serving, because that's where our destiny is discovered. That's where our gifts are discovered. That's where our purpose in life is discovered. And there's far more joy in serving others than there is in being served. Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. The point is, serving is one piece of the culture. It's one element. It's one ingredient in that entire soup, if you like, of the culture of what a C3 church is. If I was to travel through all of them, it could take us up to 3 hours to talk about every area: generosity, honor, second mile living, making disciples, purity. All these areas are part of what our culture is. The main point that I was wanting to share here is that we can create that culture. One particular pastor said, when we were talking about it's time to have a building fund, it's time to raise some funds for a new building. And the answer was, I'm not sure our congregation is ready. Here's the point. We, as leaders, are to lead people into the place where they are ready and where they will willingly engage and respond to the call to action in a positive way, so that we are called to teach on these areas and to instruct on these areas. Now, I've found that what you teach on is what you get, and who you profile and celebrate, whatever, whether it's a who or what, a situation, whatever you profile, celebrate, and honor, you will get more of. So whatever person I put up on the stage, I want 100 more of them. If there's people that I do not want any more of, then I'm not going to profile that particular culture, that particular person. But anybody who is displaying generosity or purity of life or evangelism, they're winning lost people to Christ, or discipling, they're discipling people as a Connect group leader. And so we have all of that culture needs to be delivered to our congregations in teaching from the Word of God, then illustrations like personal stories, Bible stories, or stories of individuals in the congregation, and then it being embodied in what another person is doing. Whenever I have a staff meeting, I make sure I've got at least one story. Generally, I will have two or three stories of people that have amplified and exemplify what our culture is that we are trying to build into our people. So in terms of having a vision, when people project a vision, I think we often put out numbers or achievement bars or certain kind of measuring sticks that would say we've achieved this vision because we've achieved these goals. And I believe in that without any shadow of a doubt. We must be visionary organizations and churches. However, equally as important is to projecting vision, projecting goals, and projecting the strategy of how we're going to get there. We should also project culture. Because if the culture is wrong, we can forget ever fulfilling that vision. It will be torpedoed by a toxic culture that is going to undermine everything. And very often, toxicity can get into the culture of a church when the leaders start to be negative, when the leaders start to be critical, when they are discouraging and they're noticing everything that's wrong instead of everything that's right. So at that point, the attention needs to be given to the culture of the leader. And it is always a really good exercise, every year at least, to do an audit on your personal world. Now, Paul says we need to judge ourselves so that we don't get judged. And that's the beginning of our personal audit. So on my life, I generally will look through all my attitudes, and then I'll look through all my spiritual life, and then I'll look through my physical life, and then my circumstantial life. So I find that if I gauge myself out of a rating of 1 to 10, so I might say, okay, how's my family life? I'll do marriage, 1 to 10. Relationship with children on a 1 to 10 basis. And if any of these are low, then I need to put some detail next to it so that I can give those areas attention. As I go through all these areas, go through Bible reading, praying, ministry life, etc. And I might end up with an audit on 20 different areas: finances, housing, circumstances, then personal life, fitness, weight, emotional world, mental world, how am I feeling? So all of these areas, if I am able to do a little audit on myself, then I can come up with the lowest areas that I have got happening and start to give attention to them. And that's what I do. I find if I don't write it down, it tends to just remain fairly foggy and disconnected in my thinking and not a focus. I used to put that in the cover of my Bible. So every day I would read through those areas, and I'd generally end up with five areas that I was focusing on, whether it was attitude, I need to be more patient or joyful, or my mind is getting too distracted, thinking about too many of the negatives, fixating on those things. Emotionally, I'm not making the decision to rejoice, as the Bible says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I could afford to spend more time with my children or in connection with them. All these areas, if I've got five areas I need to deal with, then I start to address those. And I gauge myself at the end of the day, how did I do on this today? And I would end up with a program where I was developing my own culture, my own personal life. And it's not just me who should have input into that. It's a smart thing to ask other people, hey, how do you think I'm doing? I mean, the people you ask, you need to know that they are trustworthy and that there's generally only going to be one or two people like that who could be like a mentor or a coach to you. And when people are able to speak into your world, people you trust, they can see things that maybe you're not seeing or not wanting to see. And that can be obviously extremely helpful. If we develop that level of transparency and accountability in our own life, that becomes part of the culture of our congregation as well. And nobody moves forward without coaching. Even the best athletes in the world have somebody who's looking on their life and saying, if you did this and that, you'd probably find you'd be functioning better. And so coming back to that, once I am working on my culture and I'm getting it right, I can actually spread that in amongst our congregation and our team. So, number one, become the cultural architect of your group, of your team, by creating that emotional soup. And again, let me tell you, it's not just by teaching, it's by your own attitude and by the attitude and the culture of the team around you. And the areas of your culture in your church that need attention can be more highly amplified when you go to another church or go to another conference, etc., and you see things, you think, wow, I would love to have that in our church. There might be a lot of areas you are competent in, but some areas that highlight to you, that's the area I'm going to work on over the next 12 months. So a great ingredient base for that emotional soup, which is a term coined by Daniel Goleman in his EQ books, is be encouraging, not discouraging. Be transparent, not opaque. Be collaborative, not island silo thinking. Be self-sacrificing. Be strong. Be courageous. And be pleasant to people. These qualities are going to nurture a healthy team. Second thing is, culture needs to be flexible. What was top of the priority list last year can change because we have a new thinking about that area and society around us is changing. And so we need to actually start emphasizing other areas. It needs to be modified, stretched, and changed. So have different gears in your gearbox. There are times when you need to be using the strongest gears because you've got a tough air season and you're getting up a hill. And there are other times when you're just cruising down the other side. Then the third area is culture created has to be maintained. Don't think that once you've taught on that thing, it's just going to tick over and be like that forever. You need to keep spinning, touching that plate once a year. Once you've got momentum in an area, it only needs a light touch every now and then to keep it going. But sometimes creating the culture for the first time in a church needs a lot of energy. And to get that piece of the cloth woven into the fabric of your church. So the deepest area for me with culture, and I've taken a lot of time thinking deeply about these things, and it's very difficult to distill it into one word. But definitely in C3, for the last 10 years or so and continuing through now, I would say connection is our primary word for our culture, that we connect with each other by eating meals, by working together on projects and doing things together, doing life together. Connection with Christ through devotion in prayer and in worship and in the Word of God. And then connection with purpose. So I connect with what I'm meant to do and I engage in that connection. And so connection is a big thing for us. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes focus, but we can do that. And I know that out of that connection, the church grows. Whatever is lacking in your culture, identify it and then create it through teaching, modeling, upholding, celebrating, and highlighting when people on your team are engaged in it. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the C3 Church Global Podcast today. Trust you receive something that will inspire you from today's message. Hey, don't forget to follow myself and my wife, Christine, on Instagram. Keep up to date with what we're doing and latest news. I'm at Phil Pringle and my wife is at Chris A. Pringle. So we'd love to hear from you and give us a review on the podcast as well. We look forward to sharing with you again next week. See you then.